produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA, 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers, 1-888-201-5313.
My name is Debbie Keller, and my company is Home and Office Transitions. I provide move management services for individuals and companies. We were looking for a company with high-quality service, integrity, and one that was committed to the same high standards of customer service that we were. And we found all of those in Ewing Moving and Storage.
We were talking about there's a raise before the raise. R-A-Z-E before the R-A-I-S-E. There is a raising, a destruction, a demolition, a tearing down, a plucking up that must take place prior to the raising of the Lord as he raises us in him and in purpose. So we were talking about that, but we understood that the raising consisted of repenting. Raising consisted of confessing our sins, repenting of our sins, and realigning ourselves, getting right with God and with one another. This is critical to the piece of, this is prior to our being raised, is the raising, and that's repentance and confession and realignment and getting in right relationship with God and with each other. And after that raising, R-A-Z-I-N-G, then we're ready for the raising, R-A-I-S-I-N-G. After he knocks it down and destroys, he then builds up. God can never use a man who has not been thoroughly broken. He breaks every person he uses prior to his using of them. That's throughout scripture. So there's a raising, there's a plucking, there's a tearing down, there's a destruction, there's a demolition. Sometimes in our lives, because God is preparing us to be raised by him. Everybody say, God is preparing me.
God is preparing me.
So when he's preparing me for the raising, we must recognize a couple of things, and I want you to hear by the Spirit and to take copious notes and to receive this word prayerfully with joy and gladness. When we are ready for the raising, R-A-I-S-I-N-G, we must first realize that the raising is God's work.
Yes.
God has to raise us.
Yes.
God lifts us. God brings us up.
Amen.
There are psalms throughout the scriptures that speak of that. In Psalm 145, put it down in your notes to be sure I'm preaching what's right. Psalm 145, 14 says it on this wise. He says, the Lord upholdeth all that fall and raiseth up all those that be bowed down. In Psalm 146, verse 8, he says, the Lord openeth the eyes of the blind. The Lord raiseth them that are bowed down. The Lord loveth the righteous. The raising is the Lord's work. He lifts us, as the psalmist says in other places. David said, he lifted me out of that muck and miry pit. David says otherwise, he lifts me, he raises me out of Sheol, or out of hell, out of the depths of death. David had that testimony over and over and over again, and the scriptures are replete with God raising up his people. When God raises his people, that's the favorable hand of God. And that is what we desire, for his favorable hand to be upon us. We want the Lord to raise us, and when he is pleased with us, he will raise us. And I want to have a witness of somebody that can testify, if you're older than 25 years old, where God has had to raise you.
Amen.
You've been down and God lifted you. Do I have a witness?
Amen.
All of us prayerfully have that testimony. And when he is pleased with us, he will raise us. How is God pleased with us? He's pleased with us when we love him, according to that first and great commandment, Sister Linda, when we've always referred back to it, to love the Lord, to love the Lord, to love the Lord thy God with all thy mind, soul, body, and strength. We are commanded by God. That's why we are always in sin. That's why we are always coming, and all sin is falling short. And every person, I don't care how sanctified, how sanctimonious, how blood-bought you are, every one of us falls in sin because nobody worships the Lord as we ought to. Nobody serves the Lord all day with all of their mind, soul, body, and strength. Do I have a witness? Do I have an agreeer that can agree to that today? Amen. There are times when we are not as fervent as we ought to be. And that's why we are always in a state of repentance unto God, because we are not serving him. Only Jesus Christ, he is the only person that ever did that. At every moment of his life, he served God with all of his mind, soul, body, and strength all of the time. And we do that when God is pleased. He's pleased when we love him. And the way we express our love to God according to the Lord Jesus Christ is by obeying God. Say, I love him.
I love him.
Say, I love him.
I love him.
And say, I love him because I obey him. Say that. And I obey him because I love him. Jesus says in John chapter 14, verse 15, if you love me, keep my commandments. That's how we can know whether or not we are truly in right relationship with our Christ, is because we love him. Amen.
Amen.
Those who love him will have the indwelling and the enablement of the Holy Spirit.
Uh-huh.
The Holy Spirit will make one victorious in the struggle against the world, the flesh, and the devil. And I want to tell you, saints of God, living saved and living according to the purposes of God is a struggle. Amen. It's a struggle. Amen. Because we have a thrice informed and formed enemy. That first being our flesh. If we never get past our carnal desires, if we do that, then we got to fight with the world. And then if we get past the world, then we'll get on the devil's radar. Amen. The devil doesn't know everybody. He can't tempt everybody. He can't bother everybody. The devil is not omnipresent. And he is not omniscient. He doesn't know everything on your mind. But the devil will have to pick and choose those whom he will have to begin to plummet, and he will have to buffet. Because he can't do it to everybody. But he'll pick those who he needs to do, because most of us can't get past our flesh.
Amen.
Most of us can't get past the world, let alone the devil being on the devil's radar. We need power of the Holy Spirit so that we can say no to our flesh. Amen.
Amen.
So that we can say no to the world, and of course we can humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God, and then we can resist the devil. And what does the Bible say when we resist the devil? He'll flee from us if we humble ourselves under the mighty hand of God.
Amen.
This is a struggle. The life that we live is a struggle.
Uh-huh.
Jesus said about those Pharisees, he said that they honor me with their lips. Uh-huh. They speak well of me with their lips, but their hearts are far from me. Uh-huh. And I wonder how many of us speak well of God, but our hearts are not fully enthralled with him. Yes. Well, brothers and sisters, if we want to have God on our side, which is one of the main points of this preachment, this series of preaching, we want God on our side, we must love him and we must show it by obeying him. So raising is God's work, but also, listen, saint of God, raising also is our work. It's our work. It's our work. Raising, R-A-Z-I-N-G, that's God's work. And then raising is God's work, but raising, lifting up is also our work. Amen. Let me tell you first, and if you can write this while we're in service on the Facebook page, that'd be fine. I wish you would. I want you to write this. Doing comes after being. Doing comes after being. God is more concerned with your being than he is your doing. It's possible to do for God and not be of God. It's possible to do things in church and around the church and not be fully enthralled with God. Doing comes after being. And the raising and the repenting and the confessing of our sins and the realignment is our being and how we are. And we ought to, most people do be. Their do goes before be. But we ought to, as saints of God, be do. We must first be before we do. We must first be brought into the family of God, being empowered by the Holy Spirit. And the Bible says after we become being and we become the people we ought to be, then we ought to follow with that the doing of God's word. James chapter 1, verse 22 says it like this. Be ye doers of the word and not hearers only. Faith without works is what? Is dead, being alone. Amen. If you have true, genuine faith, then your actions and your behavior flows out of your being. You have to be before you do. Amen. And that's what we're speaking of even today. And raising is our work. We must do some things. Yes, we must. And I want to start by saying with respect to doing in this last iteration of this series of messages. Doing. Everybody say doing.
Doing.
Doing. Being is first. Doing is second. Doing flows from being.
Amen.
Doing is a consequence of being. Who I am determines what I do.
Amen.
So the first thing I want to lift up with respect to doing, here it is, saint of God. This is the first. Use what you have. Put that in your notes. Use what you have. Put that in your notes. Use, everybody say use what you have. Use what you have. You remember Moses, I'm just going to give scriptural reference to that, scriptural credence to that. Moses, when he stood there at the mouth at the Red Sea, and even as the Lord commissioned Moses in that wilderness, as he looked at that bush that was on fire but was not consumed, the Lord asked Moses when he was getting ready to cross the Red Sea, and even at his commission, the Lord asked Moses, what do you have in your hand? Moses' only thing he had in his hand was a staff. And that staff was used mightily in emancipating the people of God from Egypt. That staff that was in his hand was all Moses had. And God used his staff. You've got to use what you have.
Amen. Amen.
When Elisha asked the widow woman, she was about to die. She didn't have any more food. And Elisha asked her, he said, "Ma'am, what do you have in your house?" Mm-hmm. And she said, "All I have in my house is but a vial of oil." And the Bible says that Elisha told her, "Gather as many containers as you can from all of your neighbors and pour that oil into those containers." And from that cruse of oil came an abundance that allowed that old lady, who was a widow woman, did not have any kind of income because her husband was dead and her child was too small. He told her and poured that oil into all of those vessels. And all she had in the house that she could begin with was just one vial of oil. What do you have? Use what you have. That's all you can do. David, when he stood before Goliath, and before he even got there in 1 Samuel chapter 17, he was with Saul and told Saul, "I'll go fight that uncircumcised Philistine who is blaspheming the armies of the Lord." And Saul tried to put on him his armor. Y'all remember the story, don't you? Saul tried to fit him with the king's armor. Tried to give him the king's spear. Tried to give the king, and tried to give him the king's sword. But David said, "This doesn't fit. I can't wear this." David said, "All I got is a rock and a sock." And that's when he stood out on that field to fight against that great giant Goliath. And all you can do is use what you have. That's all you can do. Use what you have. Think about the profundity of that. You cannot use what you don't have.
Right.
You can't use what you don't possess. God never asked you to try to be faithful with that which you do not have. But if you've got life, if you've got a child, if you've got a husband or a wife, if you've got a mind, you only can use what you have. If you don't have musical ability, God's not expecting you to use musical ability. If you don't have administrative ability, God's not expecting you to use that. If you don't speak in tongues, if you don't have the gift of prophecy and the gift of miracles, God's not expecting you to use those things. But God is expecting you to use what you have. Use what you have. Everybody say, use what you got.
Use what you got.
Look at somebody and say, use what you got. This is where we are. You can only use what you have. Use what's in your hand. You cannot use what is not at your disposal. But when you use it, here we are. We're going to break this down. When you use it, how should we use it, Brother Pastor? And I'm almost finished. How should we use what we have? Whatever it is. Whatever it is. Whatever gift you have. Use it. Sister Sharon, use your cooking gift. Sister Holmes, use your administrative ability. Yes, to the bridge for home. Yeah, okay. Use what you have. If you got a pleasant personality like Sister Carr, use what you got.
Amen.
If the Lord has blessed you with beauty, use what you got.
Amen.
The Lord has blessed you with whatever the diverse kinds of gifts, use what you got.
Amen.
But you must use it. Listen, you must use it, Chastity. You must use it. Skillfully.
Yes.
Put that down. Skillfully. Use it skillfully. Use it willingly. Secondly, use it willingly.
Amen.
And let me start with willingly first, if I may, because if you use it, God wants you to use it willingly. The scriptures are replete with the exhortation not to serve the Lord out of obligation. Not to serve God out of mere duty. Are you listening to me? Not to God out of compulsion and out of coercion. Mm-hmm. There are many today that serve God because it's their duty to serve God. And many, even in the service of the Lord, on the Lord's day, in the Lord's house, come to the Lord's place of worship, and they do it primarily out of duty and not out of a true heart of thankfulness and thanksgiving and gratefulness, and it will drive your worship up. It will cause you to canker. It will cause you to die on the vine if you do not allow for the Spirit of the Lord to come in upon your worship, and not only worship out of duty. God wants you to worship not out of obligation, not out of coercion, not out of compulsion, but he wants you to do it, everybody say, willingly. Use what you have. Use what you have willingly. Willingly, readily. Use what you have cheerfully. Use what you have gladly. Isaiah chapter 1, verse 19 says, if you are willing and obedient, you shall eat the good of the land. Everybody say willing and obedient. Say that with me. Say willing, say it again, willing and obedience. If you are cheerful and ready and glad to use what God has given you, do it, you shall eat the good of the land. And with respect to even giving, this is one of the criteria of giving. And the Apostle Paul said it like this in 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7. The Apostle Paul says, every man, according as he has purpose in his heart, so let him give. Mm-hmm. Not grudgingly.
Amen.
Not of necessity. For God loves what? A cheerful giver. Oh, I wish I could impress it upon your heart. God loves the giving of the saints of God to be done from the heart and to be done willingly and gladly with cheer and with joy, saints of the Lord. Oh, beloved, hear me by the Spirit. We ought to give what we have willingly. We ought to do it without it being begrudging, without there being out of necessity or out of coercion.
Uh-huh.
Oh, saint, hear me, please. Give God what he asks for, but give it with a smile on your face. If you, we don't need to lose nobody. We need everybody we can give, but hear me. If I can't come to the church and preach without fussing, arguing, mad, always spit fire, look like I don't want to be here, ready to go when I get here, I'm doing the wrong thing. I need to involve myself in something else because that is not beneficial to me if I'm doing that with a heart as if, you know, I'm doing this and you ought to give me a blessing because I decided to come to church. You ought to bless because I came.
All right.
You ought to be glad I'm here, Lord. Glad I'm here. And sit and you know, sit and sorrow the whole time you're here. Lift your hands and tell them thank you. We want to be willing. We want to be glad. Amen. We want to be cheerful when we come to the house of the Lord. And if I can't preach on, I'm not talking about y'all, I'm talking about me. If I can't preach that like that, and I can't express that, I can't hug nobody, I'm mad if you say touch somebody, I'm mad if you say you look at somebody, I'm sick and tired of all that you talking about doing, I'm hugging, I gotta hug kids before I go, I'm tired, I ain't done so, I'm leaving for the day, so you ready to go? And before I say amen to the benediction, you and your car going down the street. can't hear nobody. The house of the Lord ought to be filled. Ought to be filled with joy. Come on, church. I can hear you. Church, I said the house of the Lord ought to be filled with joy.
Amen.
Amen. And don't leave you come to church with your fist balled up and your lip poked out. You do nobody any benefit. You don't do God no benefit. You don't do the preacher no benefit. You don't do your bishop or who you sit beside no benefit. If you don't come here with some fire and you say, Lord, I want to praise you. I thank you for what you've done for me all week long. I'm just blessing you. And I'm so glad to be in the house of the Lord one more time. I'm not in the hospital. I'm not in the funeral home. I'm not in the prison. God, I thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Yes, Lord.
Thank you. Thank you. Yes. You see, some of y'all ain't never been in the hospital when you want to come to church. Amen. I've been in the hospital when I wanted to come to church.
Amen.
And couldn't come.
Amen.
I've been in a jail cell when I couldn't come to church.
Amen.
And I wanted to come.
Amen.
Come on here now.
Yeah.
Amen.
Amen.
Okay. Let the church say amen.
Amen.
God has, and I know that becomes a trite saying. I'm moving on. And I know that becomes a trite saying. And I don't mean to continue to hammer home, but I cannot express that enough.
Uh-huh.
How important it is to be enthralled with God.
Uh-huh.
And I'm going to leave it alone, but you know, some of us can go to a party and as soon as they start playing, fat girl back it up, what's it, big girl back it up, jump on the dance floor and we'll dance for a straight hour. And won't come to church and lift your hand one time.
Amen.
Ain't nobody mad but the devil. That's just the truth. Amen. And when we come, we ought to come with thanksgiving in our heart. And we ought to come lifting up the name of Jesus. For our God is a good God.
Yes.
And he deserves all of the praise.
Yes,
all of the stuff that goes on in our life during the week. And all, I know that stuff weighs us down. And we listen to this and we listen to that. And we turn on the radio and we, when that stuff weighs us down, when we come to church, we ought to lay our burdens at the altar. And ask God, give me strength, Lord. Give me joy, Lord. Fill my mouth, Lord. Open my mouth with praise unto thee. God, help me to lift your name vigorously with effervescence, Lord. Help me to praise you with ebullience. Lift my gaze and my hands and my voice so that you can hear and you can receive what I'm saying unto thee. God bless me in thee. I don't know about you, but I stand in the need of a blessing. And I need a favor. Look at somebody and say, I need a favor from God. I need a favor from God. And a closed mouth doesn't get fed. Come on here. We ought to open our mouths and bless the name of Jesus from our belly. Amen. Hallelujah. Let somebody say praise the Lord one more time. So we ought to give what we have in our hand. I'm not talking about financial. I'm not talking about that. I'm not talking about you giving money. No. That's a secondary issue. I'm talking about giving God what he deserves, the fruit of your lips, the fruit of your heart,
Amen.
The attitude of mind. You're just being pleased and grateful to be alive and to come into his service one more time. What a blessing that is to be alive, saints. Oh, God. What a blessing that is. Amen. People are dying every day. And God made death behave on your behalf. What a blessing. What a tremendous blessing
Amen. It
is.
Yeah.
Everybody say, do it willingly.
Do it willingly.
Do it willingly. Do it with cheerfulness.
Yeah,
do it with gladness.
Yeah.
Do it because you are happy that the Lord has blessed you. Amen.
Amen.
Oh, I know we've always had. Now I want the Lord to accentuate it and to amplify it. We've always had a joyful church. Oh, but we need joy, saints. Yes, we do. Oh, and joy starts with one and goes to another. We don't need Sister Macmore. We don't need firefighters in church. We need five starters in church.
Amen.
Amen. All we need is just two or three. That's why I need Sister Joyce. Amen. Sister Joyce Carter, she had church all by herself sometimes. And we need to sometimes or another just come to church and praise God just for God being God. Is he worthy? Yes, he is. Yes, he is. As trite as that may sound, our God is worthy. So we should do it willingly. We should do it cheerfully. We should also, secondly, do it with what we have. We ought to give it and we ought to use it skillfully.
Amen.
Willfully, skillfully. There ought to be a level of proficiency, a level of depth, a level of competence. Even with dealing with the Word of God, the Apostle Paul says it like this. Everybody doesn't do this, and that's why I need to pray for our ministerial staff who preach and teach, because it requires this. Some people believe that preachers just, they don't take much. He ain't done nothing. He just got up and started talking. Most people have no idea what it takes and what it really requires. For, come on in, brother, what it requires for people, for the preacher. Y'all turn around this way, you all right. For the preacher, sit right there. Sit right there, Right, sit right there. Right, right there. No, on your right hand side. You go sit right there. Thank you, brother. People have no idea what is required for the preacher to be ready to preach. If he's going to do it rightly.
Amen.
And I don't always do it rightly, but if he's going to do it rightly, it requires this. This is what the Apostle Paul says in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15, y'all know the verse. He says, study.
Yeah.
Everybody say study.
Yeah.
Rigorous study. Strong study.
Yeah.
Study to show thyself approved unto God.
Amen.
A workman. A man who's put in labor, a man who is punched in on the clock, who has applied himself, a workman that doesn't need to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth.
Amen.
If the word of truth can be rightly divided, what does that imply? That it can be wrongly divided.
Amen.
And most people have no discernment to be able to determine what's right or wrong. Now, that shouldn't be the case, but in our world today, most people are biblically illiterate. And that's why coming to church, coming to Bible study, coming and listening to Sunday school is vital for your spiritual healthiness. Because most people do not have the ability to discern that which is good and the acceptable and the perfect will of God. No, most people do not have that.
Yes, sir.
But the way you find out what is the rightly divided word is by being prayerfully under rightly divided teaching, rightly divided preaching. And I don't say this as self-aggrandizement, but hear me, and I mean this. Hear me by the Spirit. Thank God for the preacher.
Yes,
I can't hear you. I can't hear you. I said, thank God.
Thank God.
For the preacher.
Amen.
Y'all, can y'all hear me real good?
Amen.
Thank God.
Thank God.
For the preacher.
Amen.
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 Bert Johnson, walk him out if you would, please. Thank you. Thank God for the preacher. Whoever, I'm not talking about me. Whoever the preacher is that's taking the time to ready himself to give you a word, thank God for the preacher. Praise his holy name.
Yeah.
We ought to do it, again, everybody say skillfully.
Skillfully.
Ecclesiastes chapter 9, verse 10 says, Ecclesiastes 9:10, whatsoever thy hand findeth to do, do it with thy might. There is no work, nor device, nor knowledge, nor wisdom in the grave whither so thou goest. When it's over, it's over. You hear me? Listen to my sense. I said, when it's over, it's over. When time is rolled up and it's over with, you ain't got time to come back and try to think you're going to fix what you should have fixed while you were here. Do what you do mightily and skillfully. And that's what the Ecclesiastes writer said. And I want to encourage our church. I want to encourage our members that are watching and those of you that are here. Please listen. Be ambitious for God. Be ambitious for God. Pray that God would increase even your pastor's ambition. Be ambitious. Be great for God. The issue with that is that we have to be great according to the scriptures. And I want you all to see something here. We're talking about being skillful. Mm-hmm. Being mighty with God. Skillful. And being able and being capable. If you would, look in the book of Luke, the Gospel of Luke. Will y'all turn there with me quickly, please? The brethren have that fully under control outside. Thank God for the brethren. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. They have that fully under control. God bless them. Luke chapter 22. With respect to ambition and with respect to greatness, we have to do it according to the scripture, according to the law of what God and Christ Jesus had laid for us. Now, this is an incident. I want you to follow this. Listen, it says in Luke chapter 22, have y'all found it? Luke chapter 22, beginning at verse 24. Look what it says. And we're talking about greatness. And there was also a strife among them. These are the disciples that began to argue with one another. And strive with one another. And what was the striving about? Which of them should be accounted the greatest? And then Jesus said unto them, the kings of the Gentiles exercise lordship over them, and they that exercise authority upon them are called benefactors. Verse 26. But he says this, but ye shall not be so. Don't be like them. But he that is greatest among you, let him be as the younger, or let him be subordinate. And he that is chief, as he that do that hath that he that doth serve. So first, if you're gonna be chief, be the one that is subordinate, the younger one, the one who's the subordinate, not the senior, but the subordinate one. And he that's going to be chief among you, let him be the one that serves. For whether it is greater, he that sitteth at meat, or he that serveth, I am not he that sitteth at meat, but I, Jesus says, I am among you as he that serveth. If you want to be great, that's why everybody can be great. Why? Because everybody can serve.
Amen.
Everybody can be great. You can be great. I can be great. We can be great because everybody has the ability to serve another.
Yes.
And if we want to be great, we must be service one to another. Jesus never rebuked his disciples concerning being mighty or being great or being chief. He never discouraged their ambition. He just told them to redirect it in the spiritual way. Don't be like others who have to be up front. Don't be like others who have to have the stage. Don't be like others who have to have their names in lights to be considered great. Jesus says, I'm sitting as one who is serving, not as one at meat. And be like me, is what he was saying. Serve one another. That's what we're called to do. So when we're skillful and mighty in our doing, brothers and sisters, that consists of being of service one to another. Now, the greatest place you're going to serve is going to be in your home. That's the greatest place. And you learn how to serve at home. And when you leave home, when you come to church, instead of trying to run everything, serve. And the Lord uses his house, the house of the Lord, for the purpose of training you how to serve. And when we serve one another, that gives greatness to our ministry personally and collectively. So when you use what you have, first of all, use it willingly. Secondly, use it skillfully. Now, under that same rubric, this is Roman numeral 2, right, quickly. Use what you have. But secondly, hear me by the Spirit. Don't get tired. Put that down. Don't get tired. Don't get tired. Tell your neighbor, don't get tired.
Don't get tired.
Don't get tired. And I know things get rough. You can get tired in the race, but don't ever get tired of the race. It's all right to take a respite. It's all right to take relaxation. It's all right to take a vacation. But don't get tired of the race. Even though you might get tired in the race. I want you to turn to Galatians chapter 6. I'm almost finished, saints. Almost there. Galatians chapter 6. And this is an exhortation that you'll find throughout Scripture. Galatians chapter 6, verse 9. You know this already. And you'll find this exhortation throughout the text, throughout the Holy Writ. And he says, and let us not be weary in well-doing. Ah, thank you, Jesus. For in due season, we shall reap if we faint not. Don't get tired, brothers and sisters. I know things are sometimes grinding and moving slowly. But if you don't, look at somebody and say, if you don't quit, you will reap. If you don't quit, you will reap. If you don't faint, if you don't fall out, you will reap. Put this down. We're not going to read it now, but it says the same thing. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3, verse 13. Says the same thing. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. 1 Corinthians chapter 15, verse 58. That verse is so powerful. It says, Paul says in the conclusion of that chapter, in the conclusion of that, coming to the end of that letter, one of the great letters of pastoral, one of the great letters, rather, the epistles of the Apostle Paul. He says, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord. Why? For as much as ye know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. What you do for Christ, that's what's going to last.
Amen.
Amen. It's never in vain. Be steadfast. Hold fast, saint. As the Lord moves us up, I want you to be an overcomer. I want you to remain diligent. Remain faithful. Remain steadfast. Endure until the end. And many people are saying, well, brother preacher, I've been putting in a lot of hours, I've been putting in a lot of years, I've put in a lot of work. I'm just going to cruise out for now. No, that's not of God. No, no, no. Nobody has the right to cruise out. No, sir. The Revelation, matter of fact, I want you to look at this verse in Revelation. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what he says. He talks to the church at Smyrna. Revelation chapter 2, verse 10. Look at what he says. He says, fear none of those things which thou shalt suffer. Behold, the devil shall not cast, for the devil shall cast some of you into prison, that ye may be tried, and ye shall have tribulation 10 days. But then he says what?
Amen.
Be thou faithful unto death. Not until death, but unto death, past death. And I will give thee a crown of life. Hold fast. You cannot just cruise out just because you're up in age. just because it seems like time is winding up, I'm just going to rock and get in the rocking chair, I'm just going to take it easy. No, brother and sister, I'm getting up in age, and I'm asking God to give me more strength and more vitality like never before. I'm asking God to give me clearer vision, and the Lord will send, I thank God, He'll give those of us with a hoary head, gray head, He'll give us wisdom, and He'll send us young folk who can do what we used to could do, and they can do it in half the time. And I'm asking the Lord to do that for us, but we must be faithful unto death. The perseverance of the saints. We got to persevere. We got to persevere. We got the preservation of the saints. In 1 John chapter 2, verse 19, the Apostle John said it like this. He says, those that have left us are not with us. And they left us to make manifest that they were never with us. That's John, 1 John chapter 2, verse 19. I want you to read it. I want you to, matter of fact, since we're right there in Revelation, just turn back. Because I want you to read that. This is scripture. Verse 19 of chapter 2. He says, they went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would no doubt have what? Continue with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that they were not of us. He said, those who left, they were really not ever of us. And the reason they left was so it would be plain to everybody to see. They were never of us. And brothers and sisters, I want to tell you that when God, that's a promise that we have, don't you get tired of this race. You might get tired in this race, but don't ever abandon the faith. Stay with God. Look at somebody and say, stay with God. Amen. Say it like they owe somebody and tell them, stay with God. Stay with God. Whatever you do, I don't care who hurts your feelings. I don't care what kind of church hurt you have. I don't care what the preacher says or does not say. You stay with God. I don't care what your mama did to you. And no matter what the choir rehearsal, what they did to you in choir rehearsal, whatever you do, stay with God. If you leave God, all that does is show you were never with Him.
All right.
You got to stay with Him. Hallelujah. And God, He's able to keep you. Yes, He is. Philippians chapter 1, verse 6. One of the great promises of Scripture. He that has begun a good work in you shall perform it until the day of Jesus Christ. If you are with the Lord in genuine sincerity of heart, God will keep you. I can't hear nobody. I don't care what storm you go through. I don't care how high the hills may be. How low the clouds may hang. When you have your hand in the hand of the Lord, He will bring you through.
Grateful for
time, I want y'all to help us do it. Lift your hands in this atmosphere and say, I am grateful. Have done. Look at him and tell him, yes, I'm grateful. The victories that we've won. Tell him I could go on and on. About your works. Because I'm grateful. Praise you, Lord. Lift your hands and say, flowing from my heart.
Produced by Caleb Padgett on Finding My Way Radio Channel. Listen live on the internet or by calling toll-free 1-347-850-8560 in the U.S. or for international callers, dial 1-888-201-5313. Toll-free USA 1-347-850-8560. Toll-free international callers 1-888-201-5313.